You're listening to Air Schooner, listening that moves you. Hosted by Stacy Waite and Scott Winter.
My biggest fear growing up was crowds or being in front of an audience, which is part of why I got into poetry and performance, was a way to challenge that fear. And so I think the idea of the competing fears of being ignored and the fear of being stared at, those two combined feels really quirky, because I think it's presumed that it'd be one or the other. Either you're afraid of the attention or you're afraid of not having any attention. And I don't think I'm alone in this from talking to people. And that's another thing that can happen with poems, is they create these dialogues with people. And from reading that poem, Fear of Being Ignored, I've had great conversations around like those competing fears of like, I don't want people staring at me, but also don't want to be forgotten, like as if I don't exist.
She's Stacy Waite.
And he's Scott Winter, and you just heard the poet Jamal May talking about his contradictory phobias of being ignored and being stared at.
You're going to hear a lot more about phobias from Jamal May, because today we're talking to poets about working in series, about groups of poems they've written that have repeating titles and themes. We're going to hear also from Ross Gay and Grace Bauer about poems they've written in series.
But first, we're going to return to Jamal May, who is the author of the book Hum, winner of the Beatrice Hawley Award from Alice James Books. May has written a series of poems on phobias, some of which appear in this new book. Here's one of the poems on that very subject of the fear of being ignored that May talks about in our opening to the show.
A phasagoraphobia, which is the fear of being ignored. I used to bury plum pits between houses. Buried bits of wire there, too. Used to bury matches, but nothing ever burned, and nothing ever thrived. So I set fire to a mattress, disassembled a stereo, attacked flies with a water pistol, and drowned ants in perfume. I pierced my eyebrow, inserted a stainless steel bar, traded that for a scar and a melee, pressed tongue to nipple in a well-lit parking lot, swerved into traffic while unbuttoning my shirt. There's a woman waiting for me to marry her, or forget her name forever, whichever loosens the ribbons from her hair. I fill the bathtub for an enemy, lick the earlobe of my nemesis. I try to dance like firelight without setting anyone ablaze. I am leaning over the railing of a bridge, seeing my face shimmer on the river below. It's everywhere now. Look for me in scattered windshield beneath an overpass, on a sculpture of a man with metal skin grafts, in patterns of mud-draggled wood, feathers circling leaves and rainwater. Look, even the blade of a knife holds my likeness quickly fading while I run out of ways to say, I am here.
May has written many of these phobia poems and talked with Stacy more specifically about how he became interested in phobias as something he would return to again and again in his work.
What first happened was just finding a weird phobia. Like, it was one called hoplophobia. That was a poem that's in one of the chapbooks. And it was a phobia that was kind of made up for political reasons by an army lieutenant. And it was the fear of weaponry. And I just thought it was hilarious that there was a fear of weaponry, like as if someone shouldn't be afraid of weapons. But then when I started digging deeper into it, it was like he said something about like fear that weapons had a will of their own, which was like this whole other layer. And so when I started thinking about phobias as like not just the phobia as in like this thing to be afraid of, but as a way of talking about something else, I feel like poems always kind of have to come at things from a slant or at a different angle. So if the poems were just poems like literally about the phobia alone, they would probably wouldn't be as interesting to me, and I probably would get bored with that, and I think a lot of readers would too. So for me, it became like a jump off point for this broader conversation about what are we afraid of, and I think of phobias as kind of like normal fears with the volume turned all the way up.
Scott, I love that idea of phobias being fears with the volume turned up.
And maybe if we turn the volume all the way up, the phobia could become a syndrome, which is what our next writer, Ross Gay, has a series of poems about.
Ross Gay is the author of Bringing the Shovel Down, published by the University of Pittsburgh Press in 2011. And the cool thing about having both Ross Gay and Jamal May on the show is that Jamal told me that he and Ross were roommates at Cave Canem, where they were both writing fellows, and that they had some really interesting conversations about syndromes and phobias.
Here's Ross Gay on the phone from his apartment in Bloomington, reading Mason's Syndrome.
One of the few syndromes that afflicts large and unified groups of people, Mason's syndrome is characterized by children hallucinating in common. From a distance, the activity of these children is indistinguishable from common imaginative play. But upon closer inspection, is observed a peculiar industry, reverence for the smallest insect, and overwhelming quiet, aside from an indistinct tune they seem to be humming together. The affliction reveals itself when any of the children are asked what he or she is doing, to which the afflicted reply, without variation, building a road. Upon mentioning that you can't see the road, they respond, without variation, we know.
I asked Ross what he was thinking about when he first approached the project of writing these syndrome poems.
The wars that we were and are in, those wars, to some extent, they're allegedly providing things, you know. I mean, I imagine that those wars are about resources, ultimately. I think that's what wars are about, ultimately. And that the profound suffering that goes into these things, I don't believe that it sort of goes away. I don't believe that because you're not a soldier, because you're not afflicted with a sort of diagnosable PTSD or X, Y, and Z, that you're unscathed by the sort of violences that are perpetrated. So that's sort of what I'm exploring in those poems. Furthermore, it's a way of sort of suggesting that we're all deeply, deeply connected, ultimately, that we cannot be in the world in which terrible things happen and not in some way sort of also be affected by those terrible things.
It's interesting to think about poets who work in series and how writing in series enables them to do certain kinds of work they might not be able to do with individual poems. Stacy asked Ross Gay about what working on a series of poems enables him to do.
Whenever I write a poem, I find that I don't quite want to, like, I'm not a real good finisher in ways, I think. I feel like I want the opportunity to sort of tinker with a thing, even when it's quote-unquote finished. So I find myself writing poems that talk back to those poems, like they're not quite finished. In fact, I'm just writing these two poems now, and they're very much doing that sort of thing. The one poem says one thing, and then this next poem says, you thought I was done? You know, and it's just something that I sort of enjoy, and I struggle with the opposite. I struggle with sort of closing a thing down, and I enjoy the possibility that I'm just always sort of talking back to myself and probably talking to other people too.
The poet Grace Bauer, the author of several books of poetry, including Retreats and Recognitions and a forthcoming book, Nowhere All at Once, which won the Stephen F. Austin State University Book Prize, also talked with me about working in series, something she does quite often in her work.
Every series I've written, whether it's a large one, a book-length series, or these little mini-series, I never start with the idea that I am going to now write a series. It just starts kind of organically happening. I find myself writing one poem that's sort of that thing, and then another poem. And usually it's like two or three poems into it that I say, oh, okay, I seem to be doing this. Now, how can I think of the larger sort of architecture or whatever of how I might put this together? So it's kind of self-perpetuating sometimes. And I think it's just for me an interesting practice, a way to explore obsessions. And they might be obsessions that last for a long time. They might be obsessions that only last for a short time. For whatever reason, it's easier for me to do that in a series of poems than, say, in one long poem.
I really like what Bauer says there about building a series of poems as a way to explore obsessions. And it seems like all three writers on the show today really followed those obsessions into some pretty interesting territory.
Absolutely, Scott. Bauer's forthcoming book works a lot in what she calls mini-series throughout the collection. And she read to me from what she calls the Against series, in which Bauer takes on the project of going against some objects and ideas we might commonly be in favor of.
against lawn. The midnight streetlight illuminating the white of clover assures me I am right not to manicure my patch of grass into a dull carpet of uniform green, but to allow whatever will to take over. Somewhere in that lace lies luck, though I may never stoop to find it. 3-2 is an auspicious number, and this seeing a reminder to avoid too much taming of what, even here, wants to be wild. Against progress. Main streets lined with ghosts of shops once run by neighbors who knew our names and scribbled what we owed in notebooks, trusting they'd get paid. Now we drive south of town to a supermarket, north of town for hardware. At least the neighborhood liquor store's thriving and quick cash around the corner. The world's been big boxed. The world's been mauled. Five and dimes reborn as family dollars, and mom and pops wiped off the map as fast as open spaces. Bend over, barcode your ass, and kiss it. Goodbye.
Bauer told Stacy a little bit about how her Against series actually began.
The Against poems sort of started with the Against Lawn poem, and it was really this kind of idea of looking out at a lawn that many people want to be totally pristine and get rid of those so-called weeds like dandelions and clover and all that stuff, and just looking at it one night when the moon was shining in just the right way and saying, but that's very pretty, so why would I do that? And then I just started thinking of a few other things that we generally think of as positive, like progress and planning things, et cetera. And well, what if we take another look at that? What if we don't sort of love those things but want to bump up against them a little bit?
I gotta say, I love the idea of being against things everyone seems to be really happy about. I kind of felt that way about that Tom Cruise movie, Eyes Wide Shut. Everyone loved that movie. I should totally write a poem against that movie. What are you against, Scott?
Well, from that era, I'd say it's the show Friends. I was very against that. And now it's probably all the zombie mania that we see in culture today. But in all seriousness, it seems like these three poets today all saw writing in series as a way of deepening or shifting perspective. I think Bauer sums that up best.
I mean, that's the agitation part. I think a lot of what we do, whether it's through humor or we're just asking our readers to maybe look at something from just a slightly different perspective. And whether that's against something, I mean, I don't see these poems as a big put down necessarily, as just asking people to just imagine just a slightly different perspective, and how whatever it is you're looking at, whatever person, whatever situation, whatever idea, if you just tweak that perception just a little bit, you sometimes get a whole different view. And I think that's a good thing. I think whole different views can be a very good thing.
That's our Schooner for today. We want to thank Jamal May, Ross Gay, and Grace Bauer for talking to us about their work.
Yeah, you guys should all go out and buy their work. And thanks for listening to Our Schooner.
Air Schooner is available on iTunes. Sign up now to subscribe. You'll be the first of your hip friends to get the latest episode, and you can download all past episodes all the way back to the premiere show, featuring Nulani Krohor's Irish poetry.
Air Schooner is a bi-weekly product of Prairie Schooner and produced with research support from Paul Hanson Clark and Marianne Kunkel. Production assistants are Catherine Larson, Franny Sprowls, and Nick White. Technical support comes from Rick Alloway of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's College of Journalism and Mass Communications. Air Schooner is co-produced by Scott Winter and Stacy Waite, and the brainchild of executive producer Kwame Dawes.